This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 7th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we begin a two-part series on gay adoptions in Illinois. We'll introduce you to an Urbana couple who's going through that process with their one-year-old child. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola for today's news. A referendum on the November ballot will ask voters in Champaign to approve a 2-cent property tax increase to help pay for township assistance for the poor. Champaign City Council members serving as the City of Champaign Township Board last night voted unanimously to place the measure on the ballot. The request is smaller than the 5-cent tax hike that Champaign voters rejected in 2006. Township Supervisor Linda Abernathy says the 2-cent request considers the needs of general assistance, voter sentiment, and also a weak economy.
People are feeling the burn and the pinch, high gas prices, and so I wanted to do something that was minimal enough for the township to survive the shortfall and to sort of put us back in the playing field, but yet not so extensive as it would maybe turn the voters off.
Abernathy says if voters approve, she'll be able to increase monthly payments next year to residents on general assistance and transitional assistance from the current $150 up to the state recommended minimum of $220. But without a tax increase, Abernathy says the City of Champaign Township's budget crunch would require cuts in staffing that would affect all township government and not just general assistance. Urbana's school board is the largest so far to formally ask the Champaign County Board to put a school facility sales tax referendum on the ballot. Board members approved that request last night, and in another vote, they promised that if the sales tax passes, they'll use some of that money to lower the district's property tax. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The Urbana School Board is committing itself to using $1 million per year from the sales tax, if it passes, to lower its property tax rate about 15 cents by paying off outstanding building bonds and interest. Other money from the sales tax would fund year-to-year building renovations, while the rest would fund bonds for new projects, such as a new or renovated early childhood center. Board President Mark Netter says having the 1-cent sales tax could mean that District 116 might never have to ask voters to approve bonds for school construction again.
If we're prudent in how we use the money, and we're lucky in that something really terrible doesn't happen, we might be able to do that, which would mean a permanent, once those bonds are paid off, that would mean a permanent lowering of the tax rate.
If enough school boards in Champaign County approve the sales tax idea, they can ask the Champaign County Board to put it on the November ballot. Revenue from the tax will be divided among school districts according to their enrollment. A county board committee will study the proposal tonight, and Netter says he plans to be at that meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Last month's earthquake in Illinois caused only minor damage, but it may have led to a ceiling collapse at Urbana High School. Board members last night approved money for that repair. The collapse happened a week after the April 18th quake under the balcony of the school's auditorium. District 116 spokesman Mark Schultz says the shaking may have loosened a poorly reinforced seam hidden beneath years of plaster.
Now, there's no way that the school district could have known about the existence of the weakened seam because it was hidden underneath the plaster. If it hadn't been for the earthquake, it'd still be up. However, the earthquake happened, and we're having to deal with the results of that.
No one was hurt because the collapse happened overnight. The high school was built in 1914. Schultz says engineers have deemed the auditorium and the school safe, but repair and cleanup work continues inside, and several weeks of events there have been moved elsewhere. Illinois House members say they want to reject possible pay increases for themselves. But as Sean Crawford reports, they're not above playing a political game with the issue.
When a panel recently recommended the General Assembly, governor, and other elected state officials get a 10% salary hike, lawmakers begin lining up in opposition. Not a bad strategy, as voters typically don't appreciate their legislators raising their own pay, especially during hard economic times. Republican Tim Schmitz of Batavia.
My office was inundated with letters from constituents that say, "How can you consider a pay raise?"
State law requires both the House and Senate to reject pay hikes, otherwise they take effect. House Republicans filed a measure to reject them, but Democrats who control the chamber have bottled it up. Instead, a Democrat-backed proposal that would do the same thing is advancing. The biggest difference, Democrats would get the public relations glory of voting the raises down. Democrat Lou Lang says the bottom line is the House will turn down more pay.
So I think people ought to calm down and not make speeches about pay raises. I think we're all prepared to vote against a pay raise.
But the Senate could be a different story. Senate President Emil Jones is on record in favor of a pay hike. Jones allowed another one to take effect just over a year ago. I'm Sean Crawford.
Provena hospital workers in Danville and Urbana today are testing their skills in handling a possible chemical disaster. Spokeswoman Gretchen Wesner says part of the exercise is that no one knows when that test will start or what the scenario will be. She says it could be anything from a terrorist attack to a train derailment.
What we're trying to simulate is some type of chemical exposure where we would have to be treating multiple patients at one time who have to be decontaminated, as well as testing some other things like how information gets handed off to different shifts, because obviously in any type of huge disaster, you're going to have something that goes probably more than a day. Staff is going to have to switch out.
Wesner says during the test in Danville, police will close down a street in front of Provena United Samaritans Hospital. Health agencies across East Central Illinois are taking part in emergency drills. The Vermilion County Health Department is preparing for a possible anthrax attack. Churches, book clubs, and other community groups now have a new way to discuss the importance of early breast cancer detection. Illinois' Public Health Department has launched a startup of Pink Potlucks. The state will provide free information at those events, reminding women that the state recently expanded the breast and cervical cancer program to offer free screenings to the uninsured. State Public Health Director Damon Arnold says the community forum setting will help remove some of the apprehension that women might have.
Once you've had that diagnosis and before you even entertain going in for treatment, many women sort of look and wonder, you know, what's on the other side? It's always fear in a way. But these Pink Potlucks are encouraging women to come forward, share their stories, and make sure that women go in for early detection and treatment.
Arnold says the Pink Potluck serves as an easy way to spread the message from family to the community and workplace by just talking to a few people. Groups who are interested in hosting events should contact the State Public Health Department, or they can go online to cancerscreening.illinois.gov. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. More and more gay couples are adopting children. The Urban Institute estimates that 65,000 adopted children are already living in a household with same-sex parents. Brandon Bowersox and Kevin Johnson of Urbana make up one of those households. More than a year ago, they adopted a baby boy. Kevin and Brandon say they enjoy being parents, but being gay can make parenthood problematic and frustrating. AM 580's Terrell Starr talked with Brandon and Kevin about those joys and dilemmas in the first of a two-part series on gay adoptions.
Brandon Bowersox and Kevin Johnson say they, along with their 9-month-old son Garrett, are a typical American family. They acknowledge that many people may not see same-sex parents as typical, but that didn't stop them from bringing a new addition into their household. It was Kevin, who works as a coordinator in the Global Campus Initiative at the University of Illinois, who brought up the possibility of being parents 2 years ago. At first, Brandon, a technology company co-owner and alderman on the Urbana City Council, says he wasn't sure about the idea. But Kevin says he made up his mind about being a father a long time ago.
I always wanted kids. I went through a very short period at a very young age, very early, like, you know, 12, 13, 14, where I thought that I would not be able to be a father because of my own immaturity in regards to understanding the gay culture.
They know society views gay parents differently than heterosexual parents. Neither feels it should be an issue, but they know it is. It was one of the concerns they addressed with their adoption agent, Amanda Black. Black has been an adoption agent at ABC Counseling in Normal for 4 years and says her agency is one of the few in the area that works with gay couples. She says many gay couples lack support from their immediate and extended families.
It definitely has been a challenge for some other couples when their family is not supportive. We specifically assess other supports that they may have, you know, if they're not involved with their extended family.
Brandon says this has not been an issue for him and Kevin. Ever since they completed the adoption process and brought Garrett home, Brandon says his parents and Kevin's mom have been very supportive. He says they began watching Garrett when the two transitioned back to their jobs after 2 months of parental leave. Though Kevin and Brandon have family support, there were issues that their adoption agent needed to discuss with them. One was how they planned on raising a child in a gay household. Kevin says he thinks about it often.
Garrett is not gay, but he is coming into a gay household. And so we have to be able to determine how we're going to incorporate him into our lives, into the gay community.
Another basic question Brandon and Kevin had to ask themselves is, who's the daddy?
We both felt that we had both earned the name of daddy when, you know, in this situation, and we both wanted to be dads. So that's what we decided, that he would just call us both dads.
But Kevin knows there are even tougher issues that they will have to deal with as Garrett grows older. What if Garrett comes home from school and asks, how come other children have a mother and I don't? Or, why are my friends teasing me because I have two fathers? Brandon says he thinks about those moments, but says there's time to prepare for that eventuality.
I mean, yeah, definitely. You think through what you're going to say. I mean, I guess right now there's not a lot to say because he's a baby.
Brandon and Kevin say Garrett should know his birth mother, and she should be an important part of his life. The two met her while she was 3 months pregnant with Garrett.
His mother is a huge part of our life. I mean, so we talk to her every week. She's visited several times, so he'll be able to say he also has a mom, but, you know, and he'll have to explain that, and he'll have to, on his own terms, decide how he feels about that.
But Garrett is too young for Kevin and Brandon to consider such questions. For now, they are more concerned about which daycare they can place Garrett in, and if it's gay-friendly. Kevin and Brandon say they know being parents doesn't fit some people's vision of a family, but for now, they're just focused on being parents.
Just like any two parents, he'll end up, you know, coming to one of us when he wants to do woodworking projects and going to another of us when he wants to learn how to cook or something. Actually, we're both kind of bad at cooking and woodworking, so I don't know which one of us he'll go to in those cases. But, you know, each of us is a little different and bring different things to the relationship and to the family, just like any couple.
As optimistic as Brandon and Kevin are about their future as parents, many legal potholes lie ahead. Brandon and Kevin say they are happy in Illinois and have no plans of moving elsewhere. This may be a good thing, because the laws that support them in Illinois may not be applicable in other states. Tomorrow, Brandon and Kevin will share the legal challenges they face as gay parents. And gay family attorney Jill Gatz will discuss how the law can potentially treat parents like Kevin and Brandon in certain situations. I'm Terrell Starr, AM 580 News.
Weather forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola calls for rain in northern and western Illinois. It'll be cloudy today with widespread showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with rain and thunderstorms arriving. Some locally heavy rainfall is possible in some central and northern locations of the two-state area. The highs today will range from near 70 in western and northern Illinois to 78 in the south. For tonight, cloudy with more scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows from 42 in northwest Illinois to around 60 in the far south. Today's high in Champaign-Urbana, 73, with a low tonight of around 50. For tomorrow, becoming sunny and cooler in northern Illinois, but elsewhere mostly cloudy still, with showers and thunderstorms again, diminishing in coverage during the afternoon. Tomorrow's highs from 52 near Lake Michigan to 70 degrees in the south, only around 60 in Champaign-Urbana tomorrow. Friday, intervals of clouds and sun return with a high of 67 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.